Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome.
That's
to the
right.
For the Ripping Live Call-In Show. Number one, Will. Let's talk about it. Before the audience shows up, congratulations on being number one on Spotify's trending chart this weekend. I couldn't be prouder of you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Look, it was a very brief period. When I checked it the day after, I think I've maybe fell down a little bit, but you know, I think it's just, you got to give credit to the Raptors, man. I mean, they're, what are they now? What, 50 plus wins in five straight seasons. They got division titles in 6 of 7. You know, the fan base is just getting bigger. Like, it's not even necessarily anything that we're doing. I mean, I would like to take the credit, but if the Raptors were like the Kings or the Knicks or whatever, then, you know, it would be just what it is, you know?
So you're saying that it's Masai that was number one trending podcast.
If Masai put out a podcast, just like a motivational, like Tony Robbins style podcast, you tell me you wouldn't listen to it? Him just saying over and over again,
believe in the city, believe in yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically every press conference is one of those, Tony Robbins podcasts are, motivational shows. By the way, I had a buddy of mine who used to be really into him, and I think he went to San Diego.
Are we talking about AR?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
But I think he's a doctor now, so shout out to him.
Yeah, a neurosurgeon. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that
of
was,
all things, right? Right? So.
Yeah, I cannot believe that person.
Maybe I should have gone with him.
Maybe he's right.
All right, so we're clearly in a good mood. The Raptors, you know, obviously that Celtics loss was strange and deflating, but if you look at it on the whole, in six games in the bubble, the Raptors are 5-1. I was just looking at the numbers. The Raptors have the best defense inside of the bubble by a full 6 points. The Raptors are allowing less than 100 points per 100 possessions, which is pretty much impossible in the modern NBA, especially since if you look at the overall numbers for the league, everyone's offense and scoring is up. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Raptors are in a good spot, and they just beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Obviously, no Giannis, but the rest of the Bucks played. And you know, what'd you think, Josh? Did they look very good, or did they look like the 2011 Cavs, which I keep?
Well, before we get to slandering the Milwaukee Bucks, let's start by saying it's really good that we're not a Leafs call-in show this Tuesday morning. Mm. Those boys really let us all down, getting sent home literally to their houses that evening. Mm. All of the Leafs slept in their apartments.
They probably walked home. Let's be real.
Yeah, left
they
the
probably
bubble.
Live near, like, yeah. Jeez.
Heel Coat Express out of the bubble. Unbelievable stuff. But the Milwaukee Bucks game, yeah, it was a sort of a letdown. Not very – it wasn't super fun to watch. Shout out to Matt Thomas and Chris Boucher for putting up career highs. But what happened? The Milwaukee Bucks had the rest of their starters, and they got ran off the court by, you know, guys who aren't expected to see many playoff minutes. I know early on in this show, someone called in and said that Giannis was
hey,
a
Kate,
big fraud.
Hey, Kate, want to confirm you're still there?
Oh, hold on.
Early on, we saw that somebody claimed that Giannis was a fraud, but it seems clear every single day that when Giannis sits, the Bucks are extremely beatable.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year, and we see what happens when when he's not there. And I do kind of feel bad for Giannis in a way, right? Because you would kind of expect the rest of the Bucks to step up, but realistically, the Bucks are kind of in a bad spot. Like, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. Obviously, that's dating before the bubble, but they had lost four games there. Basically, half their losses in the whole entire season have happened within the last like 12-15 games. which is strange. And then even after the loss, Kyle Korver, who's been around, you know, quite a while, he's been on some pretty good teams, been in the playoffs, I think 12 straight years, they said, on the broadcast, like that, which is very impressive. But Kyle Korver said, quote, on all the teams I've been on, I've always found this is when there's a turning point for a team. You either take this and you move towards better, you move towards good, or you can go the wrong way. I'm not going to say we are at that point, but we are certainly close. I believe in the character of this group. I think we have a bunch of guys, blah, 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 blah. But you know, it's not great when Kyle Korver is the leading scorer in a game in 2020 against a fellow, you know, conference rival. Obviously, no Kyle, no Fred, no Serge. But, you know, it's tough when Matt Thomas is outscoring everybody on your team. I'm just saying that, right? You know, and
I agree.
Doing the same thing.
But yeah, do you want to recap some of that Celtics game? I didn't watch it because I was not expecting the Raptors to win.
You're very lucky. Why would you not expect them to win? They were on the
It seemed like a schedule loss. I don't think that – I don't know. I hung out in the Kingsway with a bunch of our mutual friends.
Okay? Oh, fair enough.
I was planning on catching up on the game when I got home, but tuned in, saw the first quarter score and said, I guess they didn't show up. Was it that simple? Was it Nick Nurse and the guys not wanting to tip their hand and the Celtics having – like a very competent NBA team?
I want to make excuses, but realistically, that was just a very, very tough, loss. I don't know what else to say about it. They did not compete, which is the strangest part. Like the Raptors, obviously, you know, man, like they try really hard. They could defend, you know, like they usually give an incredible effort. Right. And so that's why they never get blown out. But facts. Yeah, in this game, I mean, they were just getting, like, I don't know, man, it was really, really tough. Yeah, they did not compete.
Do you think there should be any worry for?
They got blown out. That's it. What
do you think there should be any concern for a playoff series, or it's not that deep, at least not yet?
I mean, I think the Celtics are just a good team, right? So, like, there's concerns there, right?
It will be a series that the Raptors can play well and not win, unfortunately. That's kind of how I felt about the Celtics all year long, is that they're a good team. They're the kind of team that, you know, makes a run in the playoffs and can push teams that they will be that may be better than them to the brink, because they have just a ton of talented wings who can score and play make when the games get tight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the only thing I would say tactically is you have the four guys on the floor at all times, right? You have Kemba, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. Because the Raptors really like to focus and narrow down their defense on one or two guys, they're really good at doing that. But what that does is that it forces other guys on the team to make plays. And if you play the Lakers and you're forcing Deion Waiters to shoot 12 times, you're fine with that. You're forcing Marquise Morris to shoot, it's fine, right? You go, you know, with the Heat. Okay, yeah, Jay Crowder can shoot 10 threes. That's fine. You're never going to beat us with Jay Crowder shooting 10 threes. But with the Celtics, like when you force those extra shots to guys like Kemba or to guys like Jaylen Brown, like those guys can really do damage. So I think they might have to tweak their defense just to play a little bit less help focused and a little bit more like one-on-one defense focused. And then the size of the Celtics is a problem. But realistically, I mean, I don't know, man. I still think Pascal should thrive in that series. He didn't do well in that game at all, but, you know, that's been a bigger thing. But I think Pascal just on paper should do really well in that matchup. I think Serge would do really well in the matchup. Serge was also terrible in that one. Like, he got dunked on by Gordon Hayward.
Rest up.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you know, he was 1 for 9 as well. So it was just an off night for everybody, but hopefully it's going to be okay.
We have a couple questions from YouTube. Yes. We're working to get calls running. You guys are very enthusiastic. I'm worried that Ashley's phone is going to catch on fire. But first we have Jason Harrison. He asks, if you could have Siakam train with one NBA legend for an offseason, who would it be? This is a great barbershop question. Will, do you have an answer off the top of your head?
If training with one NBA legend, I don't even think one NBA legend necessarily. I think he probably just, if I could actually just pitch one assistant coach, I would honestly like for him to work more with Phil Handy, who was assistant with the Raptors last year, right? And now is with the Lakers. Phil, yeah, exactly. Be your own goat. But yeah, I mean, he's just he's a lot of players have credited Phil with helping them with their handle and just develop you know, just various dribble moves. I think Kawhi's, attributed to that. I think Kyrie was there. He was with the Cavs for a while. I'm not sure if he worked that much with LeBron, but who knows? But yeah, I mean, I would just like to see Pascal improve his handles. So I'd actually, you know, because whatever, man, it's not like he needs to go to like the Hakeem post up workshop or whatever else. You know, rest in peace, Kobe. Obviously, he was a guy that people love to train with. But yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing for Pascal right now is working on the handle, because like when he comes off that like pick and roll or whatever, you know, his handle is just not good enough right now to beat a guy, right? So they're always sagging back. They're always sitting in the lane. It's basically people are putting the Giannis defense on him, and his handle is not great enough to the point where he can create an advantage, shift the defender consistently, and get to the rim and finish, you know, either through contact or with minimal contact. So I would like to see Pascal continue to develop his handle. What about you?
Yeah, I couldn't think of a legend, but I remember very specifically when Blake Griffin's handle jumped. Right at the end of his time in the Clippers and early in Detroit, I think it looked great. That's when he became like an MVP candidate and such a potent offensive weapon, when he was able to take guys off the dribble, step back, or take guys off the dribble and get past them. And those are, that's this part of Pascal's game that consistently keeps him from delivering the kinds of top tier performances that we hope for him. He's a great playmaker. He's phenomenal on defense. He's solid in the post. It would be having him be able to take guys off the dribble would be the part of his game that, after that, he's unstoppable. But we have a caller. We have Amir from Mississauga. Amir, welcome to the show. Hi, Amir.
Hey, hi. How are you guys?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, not much. Hey, I was wondering, so one way I think is a good way to rank the playoff team is by how many other teams would want to play them. And so, like, you know, somebody like the Bats probably rank 15 because everybody else would want to play them. And I was just wondering where the Raptors would be, because I think that maybe the Bucks want to play them because Giannis seems like the person who wants to get even, but nobody else would want to play the Raptors.
Yeah, it's a good question. Honestly, if I were the Bucks, I don't want to see the Raptors. I mean, I get that Giannis is like a headstrong guy, and he's competitive and he's brave. I love that about him. He's going to look great when he has that attribute with the Raptors and on a legitimate coaching staff who can teach him how to shoot a basketball. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe the Celtics. I could maybe see the Celtics wanting to play the Raptors, just because I think the Raptors don't have that like punishing, bruising size that, like, you know, obviously if you look at the way their team is constructed, they don't have a lot of great rim protectors, like, at all. Daniel Tice, decent team defender, but like not really going to be defending the rim consistently. And you know, you have Giannis, who's the guy who's going to really thrive at the rim. Even Brook Lopez this year has been posting up more. And of course, Philly, obviously Ben Simmons is out, so probably not much of a threat anymore. But even a guy like Embiid down low, or even Adebayo, we saw Adebayo really put the work to Boston. I think he had like 12, 13 free throw attempts or something like that. So they really weren't guarding him well. And the Raptors don't really have that guy. Like, as much as Serge can pick and pop or, like, you know, get inside, you know, for a little floater or whatever, the hook shots, not really a bruising low post kind of guy. And, of course, Mark doesn't really do that ever. So maybe I can see the Celtics. But, yeah, I mean, I agree, man. I don't think any team wants to play the Raptors, right? Like, how many teams in the NBA right now have championship experience? You can go through the rosters. It's pretty much just the Raptors. And then you have, like, Kawhi has championship experience. LeBron has championship experience. That's kind of about it. So I think that also matters as well.
Yeah, because the Warriors not being there makes a big difference, right?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. The league is way more even with the Warriors the way they are right now. We'll see, like, next year with them coming back and, you know, if the Nets get healthy. But right now, it's pretty open. Like, I think there's a lot of teams that should really be looking at this year as, this is my best chance to win the championship.
Yeah, that's why Damian Lillard has gone absolutely mental. In the Western Conference, I actually think the Rockets are the scariest team in the playoffs that could take the biggest gap from pre-bubble to their success in the bubble. But nobody wants to play the Raptors. They're well coached. They have a solid defense. They are going to have you work to beat them, and that sucks. It's just not a fun time.
Yeah, because I think the Raptors defense, everybody's scared of that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, especially teams that don't have like teams that are top heavy are especially scared. I think they should be especially scared of playing the Raptors because, as I mentioned earlier, like they're just so good at keying in on one or two guys and forcing the rest of the guys to play. And you, if you have a team like the Celtics, they have multiple guys that can make plays. It's a little tougher, but like the Bucks, just it's really two guys, right? I mean, it's one and a half, really. You can give Middleton a half. You know, if you look at Miami, that's two guys. If you look at and the two guys basically are Jimmy Butler and Duncan Robinson, because I really do think you can do some stuff in the playoffs against Bam. You know, I mean, obviously Philly now is pretty much just, well, I mean, it's two guys as well, Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid. A lot of these teams are just two guys, and the Raptors are extremely, extremely good at just shutting off your superstar. They've done it all season, so.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe LeBron might want to do the Raptors again, but that was the prior Raptors that he could mentally destroy before even setting foot on the court because pretty much DeMar DeRozan was scared of LeBron. But other than that, I don't think LeBron wants to see the Raptors either in the finals. Now.
No, LeBron wants to see a good roster because they're playing someone named his name sounds like Tim Horton Tucker or something like that. THT. I don't know, man. He's like a second round rookie that they haven't played all season, but now all of a sudden in the bubble, he's in consideration to break the rotation. I don't know, man. The Lakers got to figure out the roster. Okay. You shouldn't need Kyle Kuzma to hit buzzer beaters for you
Avery Bradley's going to come back, though. Or is he not?
I don't know.
I know he had some stuff going on and he doesn't want to get COVID-19, but
I don't know, man. I don't think so. I really don't think so.
But it's like they are in big trouble.
Yeah,
that team is. They don't have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to guard elite point guards? It's just LeBron. That's
or then LeBron, you know, even TJ Warren.
See, yeah. What did I say? Elite guards.
Yeah.
But Amir, thanks for the call. Hope you're keeping well.
Yep. Thank you. You guys say so too. Thanks a lot.
Question from the YouTube chat from Thomas Dryden. Will Lou, are you going to buy a Boucher jersey since he's our best player now?
I mean, it'd be kind of cool. If you showed up in like Oshiega, in his city, Montreal, with a Chris Boucher jersey. I mean, it's kind of swaggy, man. So, shout out Chris. He's had a great year. Like I don't know. I really don't want to make an enemy out of Chris. It's, yeah.
If he releases his jersey in like simplified Chinese, you cop?
Oh, definitely. 100%, man. 100%. Yo, Nike, please. Like, please give us some more Chinese New Year jerseys because Adidas was doing that that one season. I missed out. So I need another drop.
Well, maybe you can buy Chris Boucher Shanghai Sharks jersey. Just
I did not say that. Did not say that. All right.
Chris Boucher will be in the NBA next year.
Yeah.
He would like be a legend, and I actually think that like the basketball in China has improved quite steadily over the last decade. That it's not like embarrassing to play there, or embarrassing for NBA guys to go there and play anymore. It's getting quite good on the big clubs. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, if you've ever been to Shanghai, it'd be pretty sick to live there, man. It's really futuristic, that place.
From Ian Lewis, we have, do you think the overall solid play of the Raptors in the bubble has amplified Pascal's struggle relative to the rest of the team? I personally expected to see a lot of rest considering the time off. That's a pretty decent question. So, do you think Pascal's looked worse because the rest of the team has looked so good? I don't think Pascal's looked super duper bad. Like Kyle Lowry went off in the Lakers game. Fred VanVleet went off. You don't need Pascal to score 35 points every single time the club goes out. But that's just me.
I'm in the middle of watching some Pascal tape. And quite honestly, he's getting okay shots off. The real issue right now is he's not scoring very well around the rim. He's actually shooting. I know people are always down on the shooting. I believe he's shooting like 37% from three. On the bubble, let me just get that completely correct right now. Pascal is shooting 36% from three on 6.5 attempts per game. So that's totally fine. That's a pretty good percentage for a pretty good volume. It's just, he's not scoring around the basket, which is strange. But if I expect Pascal to do one thing, I expect him to score around the basket. So I think he's probably missing a couple of makeable shots right now. And then the other thing is just, you know, he's not getting that much at the rim that's open because teams are really just sagging back and dropping on the pick and roll. And that's partially why he looks kind of passive sometimes when he settles for those threes, because I don't know, there's just not much you could do, man. If the defender is going under the screen on you at the free throw line, you better shoot. At least hopefully then they'll, you know, play you honestly. So, but I mean, I don't know, man. It's also a pretty small sample. And he literally spent 3 months without basketball. So it's a real issue. You know, he's probably better at 2K than NBA right now. But let's get to our caller, Kate, a podcast favorite. She's calling in this time, second time around. Kate?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Long time listener, fourth time caller.
Only four? It
yeah,
seems.
I was gonna say.
But I yeah, we're doing
all right. I don't actually know. You're doing okay?
Yeah, I mean,
doing great. It looks like it's gonna thunderstorm, so who knows? But
yeah, it really does. It looks like it's we're having some sort of a pretty big weather event happening out there. Let's talk about events though in general, guys. I wanted to talk about bubble events and bubble narratives.
Okay, let's do it.
I guess we may as well start with something recent. Let's talk about the Bucks. What's more embarrassing, the Bucks social media team or Bledsoe playing out the final possession with Point Stanley and the Raptors 905?
I did love that Mike Boonholzer had his team intentionally fouled down six with 40 seconds left to create more possessions.
Yeah.
Moreover, that I couldn't believe was that Stanley missed. Like, the guy can't create his own shot. And even when he is given two shots at the line, at the stripe, he cannot make them happen. Oh, poor Stanley.
Yeah. It's truly one of the most inexplicable Raptor seasons. Maybe of all time, and I know that includes a lot of, you know, players, but Stanley is really among the Raptor greats.
He's going to go down as a legend.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to go down as a legend really, really well. You know, he might be a sleeper pick for an Alex Wong Coachella 2030 jersey.
Oh, my God. Listen, if anyone other than Stanley Johnson owns a Stanley Johnson Toronto Raptors jersey, please call in and let us know what's going on, okay?
Yeah, how'd you get it?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Let's talk a little bit about Giannis's mindset, because I'll be honest, like, I've been watching so much bubble basketball. I think, as we all have, it's just really nice to have it back. The basketball's been so good. And but I have to say, like, Giannis has not been looking like he's having a lot of fun. And I don't blame him. Like, you know, here's just in this as an aside. How many wins is the Giannis-less Bucks team? Where do they, like, would they even qualify? If they were in the West, would they even, like, make it to the play-in? I don't even think so.
They're not sustainably built. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, okay, so the numbers this year, their numbers do say that they're a pretty decent team without them, without Giannis this year. Like, when he's off the floor, they thrive or whatever. But, like, I don't know, man. I don't really believe that. Like, I really do think that even though they're well-coached, I think Budenholzer can really get some talent out of these guys.
Are they well-coached? Are they?
I mean, for the regular season, they're well-coached.
This team seems a lot like the David Blatt Cavaliers, like a team that when their guy is not there, they're just absolute dog food. Like, it was, think of the 2015 or 2016 season when LeBron had to miss some time and they were just, like, unbelievably bad. And you have still, you know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love out there, two very good basketball players. And they were just losing games. I think they, like, went 1-8 when LeBron sat through a stretch in 2016 or 2015, but yeah, not that's a comparison. I know that Will and Alex were comparing them to the LeBron's first finals team. I think it's late LeBron after the title Cavs teams. They are just they're nothing without their number one guy.
And they just don't really have that spark right now, which, I mean, let's be honest, maybe it can come back, but it's to me, if I was a fan of that franchise, I'd be pretty concerned at this point that things haven't gelled. I mean, I think everybody's been, they've been saying, people have been saying this about a lot of different teams. I mean, the Clippers have another gear, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, well, we haven't seen that other gear. And we've definitely seen the other gear from the Bucks, but the fact that it hasn't come out, except for maybe half of a game against the Jimmy Butler-less Heat, I don't know. I think I'd be pretty worried. But like looking at Giannis in that game, he did not look happy. And I mean, I'm not sure what an oral surgery means. If that's like a filling, or like I don't think he was allowed to leave quarantine without that being mentioned. So
the I think all he did was put in his Invisalign.
To me, that's just a filling. Yeah, give him a bit of jaw pain, like. But to have Giannis on that bench watching the Raptors, you know, 905 cream his starters, and then to watch the Raps like clearing out all three rows of the bench for the for Boucher's two-handed slam, Giannis must have been thinking in his head, like, man, I do that 8 times a game. Where's the love for me from my bench? I don't know.
The Bucks' biggest cheerleader is his brother, Thanasis. If you actually watch the Bucks bench, like, he's really up there giving energy in a polo, and he's Giannis' biggest fan. I mean, I think it's telling that when they're in the bubble, everyone hangs out together, right? We see the vlogs, you know, O'Shea Brissett's chilling with the rookies, Matt Thomas is speaking patois. It's like, all right, cool. But then, you know, for Giannis, he's not hanging out with any Bucks teammates. He's just chilling with his brothers.
Like, hanging out with his brothers.
He's like I see enough of the Lopez
so
twins.
I'm concerning.
Good. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Let's make a quick pivot here. Who's the most embarrassing of the clown car Clippers? Is it PG-13 and is Dame beef? Is it, I don't really want to dog on Trez, but come on, Trez, inviting your IG model into the bubble. Is it Pat Bev with, you know, a stat line of 12 claps and 4 flops during that, during his cheering of Dame, or is it Lou Will and his chicken wings? And is it pretty telling that all like 4 of the top 7 Clippers have been in very recent publicity, just embarrassing publicity stuff? And the most dramatic thing that came out of the Raps last year was some manufactured drama between, you know, Josh Lewenberg and Eric Moreland, the 15th man off of our bench.
I'm no longer qualified to comment on media player beefs. Just feel like that's not purely honest. But yeah, I mean, the Clippers, they're just, I don't know. It's weird to me, but it's also not weird to me that Kawhi is the only guy who's ever done anything on that Clipper team. And Kawhi doesn't say anything. Like, Kawhi literally is not out there doing any trash talk. It's just these other guys that are just like riding basically his talent and his way, being like, yeah, we're great, we're doing all this and this and this. It's like, all right, cool, but like, you guys haven't done anything. Like, just nothing at all. The Clippers as a franchise has even got out of the second round, okay? So the only reason anyone's looking at you guys seriously is because Kawhi's there. And, you know, Kawhi's great. He's fantastic. But, yo, he looks miserable, man. I mean, he keeps yelling at his teammates. I don't remember this with the Raptors. I just don't. I don't remember Lowry getting insomnia cookies. I don't remember Lou Williams taking him to Atlantic City. Or not Atlantic City, Magic City.
What are you talking about? Will that happen in January?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's just it's a difference. The Raptors are so wholesome. We're getting late night cookies. They're getting late night cookies, you know, but...
Wow.
I think the Paul George stuff from this weekend really made me feel bad for that, because he, like, I always thought it was funny that his hair looks like the Speed Racer's helmet, but the man really embarrassed himself.
No, guys, what it is, I figured it out. His hairline is like a Lego man. Like, yes. You know, like the Lego guys, and you like click on new hair. That's his hairline.
It's so crisp. It's I don't know.
So
man.
Wild.
Yeah.
Hey, just a couple quick more here, and then I'll let
Paul
you guys
George.
On.
All right.
Really, Will? Shout out to
Paul George. Really? Exactly. Really well. Where does Gasol own more real estate? Is it in Spain or is it in Vucevic's head?
Oh my goodness. It was so, I feel kind of bad for Vucevic. It was like hard to watch it happen again. Because everybody, you know, talked about it.
We knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming, and then just it was just really bad. It was just hard to watch at times.
You know, they're playing the Sixers next, so.
Joel Embiid is going to, you made the joke before this all started that Joel Embiid's going to suddenly have coronavirus and bow out. He's going to not show
okay.
up.
Okay, all right. Some, to be fair, I said this in January excuse. When no one was taking it seriously.
I know, but it's going to be some like BS excuse. Injury. Joel Embiid's going to, okay, sure. But, you know, that's a real playoff matchup, and Joel Embiid's not going to play or he's not going to show up. Brett Brown's going to give some stupid excuse, and we'll all have to pretend that Joel Embiid is, you know, I really like Joel Embiid, but he is completely dog walked by Marc Gasol every time they played against each other.
He's checked out. He's checked out too. Like, and like, wouldn't you be after, like, when is the process going to finally get started? I'm not sure if we've really established that yet. Like, it's just like we're supposed to trust this thing that's just ongoing. I mean, I don't know. 76ers, the Maple Leafs, same as if you ask me.
Wow.
Guys, true or false, Bud is to 2020 as Dwayne Casey was to 2018.
I mean, I feel like Dwayne Casey could have
more than... It's too early for that determination. I just wanted to throw it out there.
I feel like we got to give Dwayne Casey more credit for getting 59 wins out of DeMar DeRozan-led team, whereas Mike Budenholzer is getting coach of the year for winning 60 games with Giannis. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. It's not quite the same.
Last thing, guys. Last night, Kuz shot that game winner. And he had this quote at the end of the night. He said, "I think Jesus could be in front of me and I would still shoot." Who does that refer to on the Toronto Raptors?
Oh, who would say that on the Raptors?
Who would say that on the Raptors?
I
think it's your favorite. Well, personally.
Oh, Matt Thomas?
It's Chris.
Chris? Oh, Chris is definitely shooting. Chris is definitely shooting. Chris is like, Jesus was like 6'3", 6'4", maybe. Like, come on.
I got
man.
It.
That's a mismatch.
Jesus was like 5'5". Jesus couldn't not have been over 5'7".
Wow. Yeah, so that definitely. Chris Boucher is definitely shooting. And Chris Boucher is blocking Jesus is 3, too, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
He is definitely running 100%. Out on
that. Oh, definitely. Biting on the pump fake for sure.
Yeah, that's
Chris
Jesus,
had a couple of really awesome blocks last night.
Yes.
And it just really made really just discouraged some of the shooters on the other team. It was awesome.
Yeah. He should get more minutes against the Bucks. All right, Kate. This was fantastic. Thanks for
as
calling.
Always,
all right, guys.
I appreciate
it. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
All right. You too.
From Pat Santos, do you think Boston is Toronto's biggest threat or Milwaukee? We already covered this, but do you have a new answer?
No, I still think it's Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee guards the paint better than Boston does.
Agreed. Macy, I hope that's right. Macy O, do you think Matt Thomas will have a bit more minutes during the playoffs? This was a thing a lot of people were discussing yesterday night. I think I don't know why he would, but I don't know. He's a good player. He's a solid 26-year-old rookie. Mm. Do you think Matt Thomas has played his way into more minutes in the playoffs? Or
I think Terrence Davis has played himself out of a lot of minutes in the playoffs.
That's fact.
And the next guy on the line is Matt Thomas. And I think Matt Thomas has played well. But I do think, obviously, there's some real defensive concerns with Matt. Specific matchups, I think Milwaukee he can play more against. Boston is probably a little tough for him to play. Just because, you know, he's probably going to have to slide his feet against Kemba or whatever. Philly, I could see him playing a little bit more, you know. But, yeah, I mean, look, Matt's played well. And I think Nick has given him lots of credit. Like, Nick has said multiple times that after the quarantine, it seemed like Matt came back a better player, a more confident player, doing a little bit more stuff off the dribble. And I enjoy it. Like, if we got... Jody Meeks got that every last 2 minutes of the first quarter, or last 2 minutes of the third quarter, he comes in, you know, let's have Matt do that, but a little bit more as well. Like, let's give Matt like 8 minutes a game in the playoffs. Can we do that? I think that's sustainable, right?
I don't know, actually. I think that Norm Powell is going to get a lot more minutes in the playoffs. But I'm not sure
how we have, like, we're only playing seven guys right now, essentially. So someone's got to be the eight. The eighth guy usually gets, well, like 12 minutes.
I think it's Rondé is the eighth man. And I just don't really know how much, how, like, unless Norm is shooting very poorly, I think that's the only way that Matt sees kind of it. It's that you and Alex and folks on Twitter are hoping for. Anywho,
word.
We have Keith on the line. Keith from Toronto to discuss Chris Middleton. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Really excited to be on the show.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, Will, been a big fan since back in the day. I feel like I had my season ticket since like 2013. So I've been listening to you all along the way there. And I just wanted to say, you know, I heard your podcast earlier today. We're talking about Chris Middleton being about as good as Norm. I don't think that's fair to Norm. I think Chris, my wife and I watch games together. which is great. I highly recommend, marrying someone who likes the Raptors. And she said, we call him Chris from accounting because he just looks like a random dude that you would just see like at your work. Anyway, I wanted to ask you guys, how do you see the season playing out and, potential Raptors Bucks conference finals? Are you worried that if the Raptors beat them again, Giannis won't want to come to Toronto because it feels like a snake move?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. First off, Giannis should go to the situation. He gives himself a best chance of winning. And I think it's different than the KD situation, right? The Warriors have won 73 games. They were like touted as the greatest team of all time. Honestly, they had a good case for it, right? Before all the injuries and stuff like that. And LeBron happened and Kyrie happened. But, I don't think it's the same situation. No one's talking about the Raptors like they're a 73-win team. They're just a well-run organization. They have a great supporting cast that can really accommodate a star. We saw that with Kawhi. So I don't think anyone should slander Kawhi or slander Giannis or whatever, calling him a snake for joining the Raptors. I mean, like, it just makes sense. If anything, the Raptors deserve to have superstars look at them because the situation, like, they're one of the best-run franchises in the NBA. They keep developing players. You know, that's just a good move. Like, no one would slander Giannis if he went to, like, Miami or whatever. And Miami's basically the junior Raptors.
Yeah, I know. So. Yeah, I tend to agree. I just wonder how the media will spin the narrative if that does happen to somehow shit on the Raptors.
I mean, I think it'd be a little bit different if he was leaving a larger media market. I think the Canadian market has proven itself, especially over the last decade, with the Raptors' great run and the All-Star game and Masai's profile rising. The Toronto Raptors are becoming a very highly regarded franchise in the NBA. It won't just be seen like cutting bait. It'll be, he took an opportunity to join like a premier organization in the NBA run by one of the league's biggest stars. So I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a homer, but if I'm in,
no, you,
if I'm
a homer too, so I like
legit.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming Bobby and Masai are really representing the organization well. So really excited to have them down there, doing all that for the Raptors. Anyway, guys, thanks a lot for taking my call. I just have one more question. So Will, Josh, you guys spent a lot of time in Toronto. I have some time off work right now, and I was wondering what would you guys do? You had a free day in the city, or I bike a lot, so I can get somewhere near the city as well.
Go to the Bluffs. It's a great day. Or like honestly, like Kew Beach, like that area is really nice. East End of the city is very slept on, especially Kew Beach. Actually, just spending an entire day like biking along there. The volleyball courts are really nice, the beach volleyball courts. Obviously, there's an actual beach. There's a great park. The area around there, around Queen, is really nice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it out there.
What have I been up to? Like biking down by the lake is very nice. Actually, this is my recommendation. A couple weeks ago, I went out to the Humber Arboretum. I'm from over there. But I was staying with my parents and walked the Arboretum for a couple hours on Saturday morning. And it's unbelievable. It seems like so eerie whenever you're in big sort of green space. All you can see are trees and can't hear a highway in the middle of Toronto. So I'd recommend going up to the sort of like North Humber River Valley and check out the Arboretum up there. It's
sounds
a good,
good
biking too.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks, yeah. Guys. Keep up the good thank work you. And go rap.
Go rap. Thanks, Keith.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the kind words. 2013, I feel like that's like the best time to get Raptors season tickets.
Yeah, like, what a run.
It was cheap at that time, and then immediately you're seeing playoffs every year.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to watch Bargnani in person. So that's a pretty good deal by Keith. Yeah, let's tackle a couple more questions here. I was afraid you were going to give away your Stanley suggestion, by the way.
I have a
very good one this week, and it's not as kind as last week when I just said what did I say last week? Go fishing. Yeah. Steve says, what is one thing you can think Kyle can improve on or continue to improve on?
Kyle can.
Yeah.
I don't know. His back has been healthy. Like he's done everything you wanted. I don't really think there's anything that you can ask Kyle to improve on. Do you?
I don't know, man. Maybe just get more creative with the fashion.
That's not his personality. League fits.
Yeah, just like, because, you know, Kyle's kind of like a more of a muted guy. Like, his best fit is when he puts the towel on his head because the game's over and he's dropped 33 points on you.
Yeah, Kyle doesn't throw in the towel. He throws it on.
Yeah. No, he makes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, I like Kyle Lowry is
no, but
a,
yeah, obviously, you know.
He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Like, it's, I don't really know what there is to improve on. Maybe his golf stroke, but it seems like he's working on that. So,
yeah, it looked all right. It looked pretty good. Definitely wasn't no Charles Barkley swing, that's for sure. Next one from King Steezus. Shout out Jordan Crawford. What's the issue with TD2? He spends too much time on Instagram. Let's move on. Annie Tran asks a non-Raptors question. Who do you guys want to see clinch the 8th seed in the West? I love this question because that's been really fun. Like, as much as people kind of like, you know, poo-pooed the idea of this, like, okay, this arbitrary, like, 6 games within the playoffs, you know, let's give the Pelicans this, like, easy chance to make playoffs. Of course, they have not done so. Yeah, because Duke Anthony Bennett has not been able to deliver.
Oh, my goodness. The playoff run. Oh, my goodness, William. Well, I what? Agree 100%. He's been so – Duke, come on.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, I mean, the 8th seed in the West has been really fun. And honestly, I'm kind of cool with whoever else that's still in the race getting. I think the Spurs are really slept on right now. They're playing some really good basketball.
Do you want to see the Spurs in the playoffs?
No, but I just want to give DeMar's credit. Come on, man.
Yeah, shout out to DeMar. Like, shout out to DeMar. Big, like, very, really and truly. Mm-hmm. But I do think the opportunity to see two teams that can, like, be Blazers and the Suns, I actually think cause problems for the top seeded teams in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like that because I'd prefer. I don't think the Spurs are actually a super competitive series in that same way. I think they're. Yeah, I don't think, like, do the Spurs have an answer for Anthony Davis?
You know, Jakob Pertl's Jakob, there.
Jakob Pertl's yeah. actually played pretty nice. Maybe the Spurs do belong in the 8 seed.
Look, I'm just cheering for my Raptors, okay? The Spurs are, you know, the best two players of the Spurs right now are DeMar and Jakob. So, look, I'm supporting them. The Suns, obviously, fantastic story. Devin Booker shooting a shot. At Kyle
literally, yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And he's hitting everything. So I expect him to make that as well. Fits the profile. And you know, even like the Grizzlies, if you know they're right now really sliding, but that's a fun team. I like the way they play. Obviously, no Jaren Jackson, but it'd be fun to see Ja. Like, I'm cool with whoever wins the 8th seed, but if I had to pick just one, I'd pick Portland. I just think Portland's story is the coolest, and I think it makes for the most competitive basketball. Like, it'd be nice for the Suns to make the playoffs after this, like, undefeated run through the seeding games. It'd be a great story, but I still think ultimately the Blazers are just a better team. Yeah. And I would like to see the Blazers give the Lakers trouble, because I think that series goes, like, 6 games. I really do.
Yeah, I think it goes Yeah. I don't know. Dame in the late game situation, Saturday excluded, is a problem. And if he can keep a game close, I don't want to, you know, no disrespect to LeBron James, but that's a scary situation.
Yeah, I want to take another, question here, but as I got to remind you guys, please call in 289-778-0918. And then the number might be obscured by my large head, but please call in. But yeah, okay. Another question we have here from Pat Santos. Who surprised you guys the most in the bubble so far? Let's just limit this to the Raptors. Obviously, it's the Suns. If we're going to expand outside the Raptors, but who on the Raptors has surprised you the most so far in the bubble?
Actually, like Fred being mostly healthy, I didn't actually think was going to happen. Because coming into the playoffs or the bubble, it's like, oh, Fred might actually have like tweaked his knee or whatever, but he's 100% there. He's playing out of control. I'm very, 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 very excited to see the damage that Fred can do going into the playoffs. Not that I thought he'd be out of shape or anything like that, but, you know, there's...
He was banged up for sure. Like he was playing through a couple of small injuries for sure.
Yeah, and he's popped off the screen since the Raptors came back. So really happy for him, really excited for what he will do in the playoffs. And I think that's my answer. Positively. Negatively, Serge Ibaka has looked terrible. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I was going to pick Serge because...
Jumping over Amazon boxes maybe isn't enough training, but it sucks. Like, he's an older player. He wasn't on a court for several months. He may need to play himself in shape, but he's looked like his only workout material was like stretching bands and jumping over, you know, Amazon boxes.
Well, what's really confusing to me is that, Serge was playing awesome in the scrimmage games and whatever, it's a scrimmage, but like he was in rhythm. He was hitting his jumper, super confident, moving around well, blocking shots, everything you wanted to see from Serge. You're like, okay, great. I know Serge is a great vet. He's probably the best conditioned player on the team, just in terms of how seriously he takes his conditioning. You know, he's just such a pro. Of course, he's continues to be in a contract year. So I don't know what it is, other than him moving to the bench. And that must be a hard pill to swallow. But at the same time, it's not a new role for him either. And I really did expect that if he came off the bench, there's more opportunities for him to score. Because with the starters, like there's already, you know, Kyle, Fred, and Pascal there. You know, Serge's, I don't know, fourth, third option, right? With the bench, he can really get to be like one or two, him and Norm, with whoever else is out there with them. I think he can thrive in that role. I think he should. It's just, it's been tough. But he looks kind of sluggish, which again, I just didn't expect because he played so well in the scrimmages that, you know, yeah, I don't know. I was having a really fun season with Serge, and it's unfortunate that he struggled a little bit, but I believe he'll pick it up. He's a playoff guy for sure. We have another caller. We have another Will in Toronto. He wants to talk about the Raptors. Wow. Okay.
Good show for it. Will, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you very much. Gary, good afternoon, Josh, Mr. Will Liu. Just sending my regards. That's it. Loving what you guys are doing here.
Great. I
appreciate it, man. So what's in your mind?
I'm listening to right now? Nothing. Just literally shouting you guys out.
I'm commenting
always on the on the comments there. So we'll leave it at that.
Wait, is this Will Chan?
In trouble here, so I'm pleading the fifth. FIF.
Oh. Oh my God.
Will, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your listenership and your viewership. And
wait, hold on. Yeah. Are you the devoted Stephen LeBron radio listener?
I'm pleading the fifth.
All right.
Shout out,
Stephen. Won't confirm nor deny.
Listen, I appreciate you tremendously, bro. You are the number one.
Yes, appreciate you guys as well here. And that should squash the I don't want to say rumors, but the maybe the misinformation of Will Liu having a burner account, maybe on another platform somewhere. So
come on, man.
Let's just squash that. And that's it. So take care, guys. All right, I got a conference call to jump into. So take care. Go Raps.
All right, man. I appreciate you, man.
That's so nice.
I don't know what's going on.
So that's your shooter?
No, I mean, I have multiple shooters, apparently.
That's,
you know, but of late they've been shooting back at me. Aside is definitely one of my guys, but he's been killing me. You've been killing me. Alex has been defending me, but you know, Alex is his own man. He should stand.
You just need to stop apologizing to Chris Boucher. That's where I. That's
I just want to. I just want to be good with all the players on the team. You know, like I just, you know, not trying to be friends with everybody because realistically they don't need anything from me. But you know, we can get along. A little snarky, whatever. Okay, we have another call. Do we have another call or no? Samir.
Samir. Samir, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you, man? So my question is. Who do you think will benefit more from not having fans, like the young guys or the vets? Because like initially I was thinking that Miami wouldn't be as much of a threat because they have like, you know, younger guys in terms of like Hero and Robinson. Mm-hmm. But like since there's no fans, that sort of like pressure of being on the road isn't going to be there. So do you think that's going to be a big factor?
How much the fans really factor in, to be honest.
For the Raptors, I don't think it matters much at all. They're such a vocal team. I think that more often than not, the guys aren't really listening to the crowd noise. They're listening to Kyle and Mark bark out orders.
Yeah.
So I think for many other teams, like LeBron James is saying that, you know, he can't hit a jump shot unless he has, you know, his fans in the crowd.
They got to get Beyonce on the virtual board.
I feel like that's what LeBron is alluding to.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for the Raptors, having a virtual audience and having piped in crowd noise, it doesn't matter as much. I think for other teams who aren't used to like listening for instructions and how they're going to cover a pick and roll is maybe influencing. I don't know. I saw earlier that Lou Williams said that he doesn't really get the point and it doesn't affect him.
Yeah, but how about like younger guys? Because usually younger guys on the road, they shy away. You know what I mean? Like they can't handle the pressure. So, you know,
I mean, I feel like the crowd impacts to a point, but also at the same time, like, I think they also know that like, it's, I think it's a situation that maybe gets through their minds more than the crowd itself. You know what I mean? I think the crowd is an additional factor, but I think the main factor is it's a really tight moment. It's a really big situation. They're a little nervous because they've never been there before. They don't want to screw up. Mm-hmm. They know millions of people are watching. That is, I think, the biggest factor. But yeah, I mean, I could see it. I mean, I think Giannis is probably the guy that's probably benefiting the most from no crowds because, you know, the Raptors fans were making him shoot like 40% from the free throw line when it mattered. we got to fix that. Sure. The Raptors, whoever the shooting coach is, Jim Sand, Nick Nurse, like just fix Giannis's jump shot and we'll have like another 4 or 5 titles.
It's unbelievable to see him like put up short free throws. It's just crazy.
How is he so strong, but he only hits air balls and front iron? Like, just can you shoot? What is wrong with the mechanics? It's anyway.
He has awful form. His form is really bad. Mm-hmm. But like, you know what Giannis kind of reminds me of so far in his career? Kind of the trajectory of LeBron in terms of like, remember how like the first 8 or so years, like he wasn't a great perimeter shooter and like Dallas kind of stifled his offense or whatever. Hmm. It's similar. I mean, LeBron was a better shooter than Giannis at this point in his career, for sure.
Yeah,
but I feel like for Giannis to win a chip and get, I mean, he's obviously a superstar, but for him to win the whole thing, I think he needs to improve like on the perimeter. Cause like in the playoffs, you just put a wall, like look what the Raptors did. They put a wall up and they're like, you're not getting, we're going to stop you as much as we can from getting into the paint. And then look what happened. They won 4 in a row. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, until he improves on the perimeter, do you think he can win it all? I don't think he can, honestly.
Yeah, I think he can win it all in a weak year. Like, this year, I think, is kind of a weak year. Like, all due respect to all the teams out there, but it's a weak year.
Yeah.
This year, it's more wide open. I can see it. But, I mean, yeah, consistently, no, I think he needs to improve his three. Like, just significantly, to be honest. Like, it's just no one respects the shot whatsoever. And even if, like, defenses sag off him and stuff like that, like, even if he starts hitting, like, 3 threes a game, defenses are still going to pack the paint because he's that dangerous near there. But it'll just change so much of, like, because you can see in crunch time, like, he only has one mind to go to the basket. And it makes it just a little bit predictable, right? So he's a great player, man. He's a great
player. And the thing is, yeah, no, for sure. But the thing is, like, they haven't improved anything from last year. Like, he's just as good to me. He's just as good as he was last year, right? Mm-hmm. But then, and the craziest thing is Brogdon. Like, why would they treat to me Brogdon outside of Giannis was the scariest, you know, opponent when the Raptors faced them, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know why the hell they let Brogdon go.
Well, he can actually dribble and break down the defense and get to the basket for a layup. And
yeah.
you name me another Bucks player that can do that with any consistency. Maybe Bledsoe, but it's not that hard to keep him out of the paint. So
yeah, exactly.
All right, bad idea. Thanks for the time.
All right, man. Samir, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, have a good one.
You too.
All right.
All right, William Liu, I think it's time for a segment like no other, without rival. Stanley's suggestions. Do you want to go first this week?
I do. Yeah, so I don't know if you know this. A bit of an obscure one, but since we're on the YouTube platform, I wanted to stick closely to this. You know, if you watch some basketball videos on YouTube, you'll see, like, these ads for different products. One product, I don't know if you know if you're familiar with, the Coach Goodwin ball gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like Stanley could, like, maybe call Coach and, like, get these ball gloves, because what it does is it takes away your ability to handle the ball, and it really makes you work on, because it reduces your grip on the ball and stuff like that. You know, I think it'll just help him with the handle a little bit. So, you know, watch a YouTube video. I feel like Coach Goodwin ball gloves was much more popular in, like, 2017, 2016. Maybe, I don't know what happened to his business, but call him up, let him know, and just, like, you know, just work on the handle. I feel like the handle could use a little bit more work. That's all. So that's like my suggestion.
I think that's a very solid suggestion. For this week, my original answer was going to be the new Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion music video, but I'm sure that everyone watching
they're in a bubble, man. Come on, please don't do that to them. don't watch that video, okay?
The other thing, the local suggestion I'll offer is Auntie Lucy's here in the Annex. It's great. The rumors about it being very delicious are true. I visited once a couple weeks ago and plan to again very soon down the street. Actually, Will, you should pull up on the weekend and we'll go down, get burgers. But that's a suggestion in Toronto. I like suggesting local businesses. So that's my suggestion. Other than that, Stanley, while in the bubble, feel free to, you know, catch up on the latest Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion music video. It's a delight for the senses, both visual and auditory.
Yeah. All right. If we're shouting out local places, shout out Roti Cuisine of India here on DuPont.
I love
that place. Good. I don't know. You know what it is? I used to live right beside there. So
yes. It is good. That's partially why I grew.
It is super clutch, man. So, Stanley, if you're ever, you know, walking this Casa Loma or something, maybe you want to walk the steps, walk down those steps and get yourself a nice roti.
Apropos of nothing, and we'll end the show now, but did you see, there's like this commercial that has a guy running up the steps there I'm not going to name the brand, but it's like an electronics company. There's a guy running up the stairs. I've never seen a camera crew there. So I think the man really just shot it himself, and it's in a national advertisement against Raptors game. So, shout out to that guy. He was a brother, so I hope he got the bag.
Well,
do you want to plug?
Are we plugging the steps? Is that another Stanley suggestion?
Well, yeah, the
what are they called? The Baldwin
steps? I think it's the Baldwin steps, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Baldwin steps at Spadina and DuPont.
Highly recommend. Just at nighttime, you know, there's less people on there trying to do exercises.
Yeah,
and there's just more vibes because you can look down Spadina. It's like a very clear street. You can see the city skyline.
It's a
couple of trees. Yeah,
it's a great view of the city. At the top of the Baldwin steps, looking down towards the CN Tower, quality view.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that does it for the podcast. Josh, thanks for co-hosting as always.
Of course,
KFC. Big shout out KFC and
$10 bucket.
To get the $10 bucket, man, that is a deal. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. Every time I read it, I'm like, that's unbelievable how much food you're getting for just 10 bucks. So, thanks to our sponsor. Thanks to Ashley, producer Ashley, for You know, I apologize that her phone is breaking because we're getting so many phone calls. We're going to try to work on this, but and then of course, thanks to everyone for listening, calling in, and we'll be back. Actually, yeah, that's the important thing. We'll be back next Monday. That's August the 17th on the eve of, I believe, the playoffs start on the 18th. The schedule's not fully out, but we'll have one more call in, Joe. We'll take a lot of questions on Raptors Nets. You know, Josh, we can have a lot of time to look at who some of these guys are, because I really will need some time to scout Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot. But yeah, we'll be back next Monday, so please call in then at noon.
All right, watch Raptors group chat, listen to the reaction podcast, and we'll see you next Monday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.